Hey, last autumn, our church began something new. Every Thursday evening, beginning in September, a group of 12 to 18 of us came together and we shared life. We had tasty food and we learned really bad but funny jokes. And most importantly, we were all together in a safe place, those 12 to 18 of us, where we could ask questions or encounter questions about our faith and really to stretch and to think about what we really believed. And it was really interesting. I was there for most of the meetings. And what was really interesting to me was the fact that pretty much all of us were churchified. We had grown up in the church, and you would have thought that we would have known what we believed and what we didn't believe. But we were all surprised because we were able to grow even more in our faith through our experiences. Because you see, it wasn't the fact that we were transformed by finding all the answers. We were transformed by wrestling with the questions. That process of sharing life together and wrestling with questions of faith and growing in our faith and really sharing faith together, well, that's called Alpha. And we had a great session. And we're going to start a new Alpha program in just a few months. And you're all invited. Because you see, Alpha isn't just for folks that are new to the faith. Alpha is for everyone, no matter where you are on your faith journey, whether you are questioning, been there, or whether you just feel totally assured in your faith, Alpha is for everyone. So, you're all invited. No pressure. I won't have my feelings hurt if I don't see you on that first evening, because we're going to invite a lot of other folks as well. But I do want to issue this invitation, and this message series that begins today is an extension of that invitation. Because what we're going to do is we are going to look just at some of the questions that we talk about in Alpha. Today's question is there more to life than this? Boy, that's a huge question, isn't it? And if you haven't wrestled with that question before, you will. You will. Today, we're going to get a little help in opening the door to try to take a look at that question by looking at a slice of life, an episode from the life of another seeker after the meaning of life, and that's Moses. So I want to invite you here and online to stand where you are, if you can, and we're going to go into the second book of the Old Testament, that of Exodus, and we're going to be in chapter 3, verses 13 and 15. Hear these words. But Moses said to God, "If I now come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' they are going to ask me, 'Well, what's this God's name?' What am I supposed to say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. So say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God continued, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, Abraham's God, Isaac's God, and Jacob's God, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how all generations will remember me.'" Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated at home and here. Is there more to life than this? Boy, how many books fill libraries? How many websites are out there that are dealing with just this same question? How many times have I wrestled with this question? How many times have I asked myself this question? How many times have I asked God this same question? I remember a time way back in 1983. How's that for being specific? I remember a time in my life when there I was, married to the most beautiful woman in the world. If anybody said otherwise I would fight them. Had two of the most beautiful baby boys that weren't even in the world for a year. Working full-time as a baker and at Heritage Cafeteria and going to school full-time at was once Southwest Missouri State, is now Missouri State. And I was blessed. But I was also stressed. And I was exhausted. And I was filled with questions. Am I ever going to get out of school? Am I always going to be working at this cafeteria? Is this all there is to life? Is there more to life than this? Now, time answered those questions for me. But at that moment, 1983, I did find comfort in wrestling with that question because I had friends that were struggling with the same thing, trying to find the answer to, is there more to life than this? And not just friends that I physically had, but friends that I had in the music that I listened to. My 21st birthday, someone had gifted me an album by a fun band at the time, might have heard of them, Dexys Midnight Runners. If that name doesn't sound familiar, then they're one-hit wonder, you know. Come on, Eileen. Not a church song, so I'm not singing any more lyrics, but it was a fun album. But what you might not know, unless you have listened to that album, is that they had a lot of different songs that really tried to get at, I don't know, there was a certain soulfulness to it. And some of the songs that I listened to, some deep cuts, if you will, really spoke to my heart. One song in particular was called Until I Believe in My Soul. And the gist of that song is a man who feels like he's done everything right in life and he should be rewarded for doing everything right. But instead, he encounters this truth that was proclaimed in the chorus. That's all there ever is. That's all there ever was. The same for everyone. Boy. I would think that singer Kevin Rowland of Dixies would answer the question, is there more to life than this, with a sorrowful no. And you know, friends, I have felt that answer in my life before. But I have good news. What I know now, deep in my heart, is that no is not the answer to the question. Because we have a God who is the great I Am, who loves us so much, who makes life for us more rich, that no matter how poor our experiences in life or no matter how rich our experiences in life, there is always more. So the answer to the question, is there more to life than this, is a resounding yes. Let's think about Moses for a second. Do you think he ever asked this question? Is there more to life than this? You know, in Hebrew or Egyptian or whatever. Here he was, a man who grew up in Pharaoh's household, a son of Egypt, although Pharaoh's daughter knew better, knew that he was a Hebrew of low birth, a slave, and when she pulled him out of that basket out of the water. But Moses grew up in Pharaoh's household. He was highly favored. He had everything. And then one day, Moses saw an Egyptian abusing a Hebrew. And before you know it, the Egyptian is dead and buried in the sand. Moses thinks he did the deed in secret, but somebody saw, and then soon everybody knew. And so Moses ran away from Pharaoh, ran away from Egypt to that faraway land called Midian. And there he was adopted by the family of Reuel, a.k.a. Jethro, married Reuel / Jethro's daughter Zipporah, and had children. And soon this man who grew up with everything, who was a son of Egypt, royalty, was now a humble shepherd. Don't you think in the midst of all that, that Moses would have said or would have asked in his heart, is there more to life than this? And then came that epiphany, that theophany, that crazy thing when God's voice spoke to Moses from that burning bush that was not consumed. It had to be shocking. But what was shocking was not just the fact that there was this phenomena where the bush was burning but wasn't really burning up anything. It wasn't that God's voice was coming from the bush, but it was that God was calling Moses to a huge mission. Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt that you have run from and to talk to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Let the Hebrews go. And we know Moses' response, don't we? Moses said, yippee! Let's go! Yeah! No. Didn't happen. What we got instead was, but Moses. But Moses. Excuses and more excuses. Today's scripture is the second but Moses in Moses' conversation with God. There will be three more. And I want to share in the midst of this, though, in this but Moses, that God shares something powerful. And it's the answer to the question that we are talking about today. Is there more to life than this? Let's see if you can hear the answer. But Moses said to God, if I come now to the Israelites and say to them, the God of our ancestors has sent me to you, they are going to ask me, well, what's this God's name? What am I supposed to say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. So say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God continued to say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, Abraham's God, Isaac's God, and Jacob's God, has sent me to you. Is there more to life than this? Yes, there is the great I am. I am who I am. I am what I am. I will be what I will be. All those meanings are true for that Hebrew cryptic word of God's name there. I am is with us, even in the midst of craziness, even in the midst when we're questioning life itself, we have a God who loves us so much that God, the great I am, is with us to offer more. More light in the darkness. More life in the midst of death. More love in the midst of fear and hatred. We know this to be true. Last week, if you were able to listen to the message on Facebook, and it's on our website now too, I shared with you John's Christmas story, the evangelist John from the Gospel of John. It's all about the Word who was in the beginning was with God and the Word that was God. And the Word, the life light, became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. The great I am came to us and still comes to us and is in our heart. The Gospel of John, that prologue that I shared last week, is just the beginning, because all through John's gospel, Jesus explains who God is and his connection to God 7 times through these I am sayings that I want to share with you now. So if you want to take notes, now's the time to do it. I'll probably post these on Facebook or something, but you know, exercise those fingers. Those of you at home, likewise. From John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. How beautiful that is, right? Do you know in Scripture we read that those words caused a riot? They thought Jesus was being blasphemous, that Jesus was advocating drinking blood and eating flesh, cannibalism. That's in the gospel. That same teaching has been used throughout history to kind of burn at Christianity as well. But all Jesus was saying is, I am the very nourishment that you need. I am. I am the light of the world, John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me won't walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Echoing the words of Isaiah 9, people had walked in a great darkness, but soon experienced a great light. I am the light of the world, the light for all of us, the life light. Then John 10 has two wonderful verses in 9 and 11 that are related to the same thing. I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. He's, of course, talking about the gate, which is another word for door, for the sheep to come in and out of. And then in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. What an amazing God. I am. John 11:25. Words said to a grieving Mary when brother Lazarus had died and was wrapped in a tomb before Jesus was able to bring him back. He looks at Mary and says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will die. Whoever believes in me will live. Never misquote scripture. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die. Jesus is the life, the eternal life for us. In John 14:6, words that have been very controversial, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Many see those words as being very exclusive, as cutting people out of God's grace. I don't happen to see it that way. I see these words as invitation. You want a relationship with God as Father? I'm the way. I'm the truth and the life. And another way of expressing family with God. In John 15:5, I am the vine. And now he connects with us. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will produce much fruit. Isn't that wonderful? Without me, you can't do anything. There's that connection that right there succinctly said that Jesus is saying, I am. Jesus was the Word. Flesh and blood that moved into the neighborhood. Jesus was God. Jesus brings us together. And that's good, good news. But I would lift up that we have a challenge. And this is a challenge that we live every day. This isn't for this week. This is for forever. This challenge that I have for all of us, and it's this. We're going to encounter this question sometime. Is there more to life than this? We're going to especially encounter it when we're going through very, very rough times. When we're experiencing loss, when we're experiencing anxiety, when we're experiencing stress, when we are experiencing depression, when we are experiencing despair. We are going to encounter this question when everything is just going great, but a certain ennui just kind of settles in. And we're going to ask this question, is there more to life than this? And we're going to be tempted to say, this is the way it always is, this is the way it always was, the same for everyone. But my prayer for all of us, friends, is that there is a spark in our heart that reminds us of the true answer to the question, is there more to life than this? And that answer is yes. And not only that, but when this question comes to us, no matter where we are, that this spark would Allow our hearts to open up to answer with a mighty yes, but that we would do it out loud. So we're going to practice right now. Good people, both online and right here, is there more to life than this?
Yes.
And all God's people said, amen.